Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We're tonight's entertainment.
Look at my butt. Now look at my front butt. Wada, 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 wada.
Open the circuit to the wave motion gun. Open the circuit.
Blood receiver pressure increases.
All the ship's energy is now in the wave motion gun.
I doubt anyone here would recognize civic virtue if it reached up and bit you in the ass.
Oh, did I hurt your feelings?
Only Magneto's right. There's a war coming. You sure you're on the right side?
Welcome to the weekly KSDAD radio review shows. I got three movies tonight and a little bit of news after that. Well, the news confirmed first. Yes, I missed the 350th episode on Sunday, but I am working on things that probably will be posted up this Sunday, but I won't be on because Central Cinema is showing Mandy and it's the only time I can get to it. I'm sorry, Nicolas Cage and bikers and drugs are more important than my show. I'm only going to say this probably for one time in my life. Well, no, there's always Knoxville Horror Fest. It's those guys. If you want to blame why you don't have a live show on Sunday, blame William Mahaffey, Jessica Shipp, and the rest of the guys down at Central Cinema. It's their fault for putting good stuff on. And speaking of, if you're in the Knoxville area, this weekend they are showing the Lords of Mayhem, the black metal movie about Mayhem, the band. And their midnight show this weekend, of course, is Mandy. And Sunday is the Oscars, and no one gives a shit for them. I don't. This will be the first Oscar I'll be like, oh, I missed them. Oh, darn it. Ooh. And I'll check the winners, get mad as usual. Well, I'm already mad because, as you'll see later tonight, there is another movie that came out this week. Oh, well, on Amazon VOD, that should have been nominated for Best Documentary. Jesus, I've gotten two this year. Three from last year that I think it should have been nominated over most of the boring crap that did get nominated. But I'll get into that later. And there's going to be a name change coming on because I don't want to live in the past with the K, the A, and the D still there because they've been nothing but a bane in my existence and a cog in my wheels ever since those monkeys left. Fuck them. But yeah, all these movies, 90% of them I've been watching on Amazon Prime. Why? The rental rates are cheaper and they run smoother on my crappy HughesNet net. And if you're watching something else streaming, the smoother the flow, the more you appreciated it. And the first one is what I rented last week. And if Vicky hadn't been on with her reviews and stuff, and thank you for that, Ms. Vicky. I would have put this on there too, and that is Bad Times at the El Royale. This one goes into a specific genre, well, a subgenre of noir, which is five people show up at a hotel, blah, 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 place in the middle of nowhere, and shit happens. This has been done many, many times from, and then the famous story of Agatha Christie, and then there were none. No, I'm not going to relate the other two titles. You can look them up yourself, because there's no need for saying them. Thank you. And to the worst, which is ironic since Bad Times at the El Royale takes, is the best Quentin Tarantino movie that he never made. And that would be Destiny Turns on the Radio. Now, that movie was crap from top to bottom. But Bad Times at the Oriel is sort of like a mixture between Pulp Fiction and Rear Window. And you'll understand the Rear Window stuff once you see the movie. It gets really, really, really twisty, and it's a hell of a lot better than the trailer makes it out to be. As a matter of fact, I would recommend against watching the trailer because it does give out plot spoilers. And this is definitely it. And all you people who love Chris Hemsworth Thor, and this is to my gay audience, my female audience, yes, there is more than 20 minutes of Chris Hemsworth wandering around without his shirt, so you guys will be happy campers. Jeff Bridges is great in it as a priest on the edge of the men who is there to take care of some business, which involves tearing up the damn Florida hotel. And we have one guy who's there because he wanted to splurge and get the fancy room, so this vacuum cleaner salesman is there. And then we got the black singer who's on her way to Reno, and this one woman who comes and is just pure mean. And all of those in their backstory gets slowly told over 2-hour and 30-minute running time, which really passed fast to me. And it's like Pulp Fiction where it has one incident, then it rewinds back to show another part of the incident, rewind. And what's funny is they use the room numbers, not the people. So it'll be like room 5, room 6, room 7, room 8. And good God, it's better than you would think it is. It's fun. It's twisty. It's one hell of a noir. Everybody in it's acting your ass off. Well, let's put it this way. If you love the twist that were in Cabin in the Woods and how they were placed, Drew Goddard, who also did that, well, you will like Bad Times at the El Royale. And it has a great soundtrack, too. I've been listening to it on my streaming app of choice, which is Pandora, for about a week now. Just listening to that beautiful old music. And it is set in 62, I think. It's set in the mid to late 60s. That's all I know. But, yeah, that one gets a recommendation. You should see it. And now we're looking to a film. It has taken me 2 to 3 years to watch because I've been afraid that the Blu-ray, the word is the Blu-ray doesn't have any subtitles. And when the movie's in Spanish, that can lead to a lot of trouble. But Amazon Prime had it there, $3 rental. I'm like, $3? Oh, okay. Take my money. And that would be part 2 of Alejandro Jodorowsky's Psycho Magic autobiographical series. Yeah, that word's a lot harder to say than it is to type up in. And this covers from the time he left his first home, and it's his time in Chile. Well, when he left Chile for another country, And it's basically his teenage years, him getting involved in the art crew, the very, very beginnings of the panic movement, and just his life in 20s until he goes off into France. It's Joe Dworsky. It's amazing. And like I said, it does annoy me that everybody is like, oh, I wish they made Dune. I wish they made Dune. And almost, you fuckers need to see this. It's great filmmaking. Joe Dworsky has still got it, and I hope to God that he gets to finish it. But if not, I'm sure he has enough crap written down where they could do it in books or whatever. Every one of the performances in this movie is good, from top to bottom. And it goes to his surreal view of the world again. Like, his first girlfriend is this big, beautiful, buxom, chunky lady with a red wig who is just total manly badass. And how she gets hooked up with Joe Dworsky. And the crew that he is hanging with, this movie is not told about how it happened, but how Joe Dworsky remembered it. That's why his mother sings opera all through the movie, and one of his friends dresses in a ballerina costume with full makeup for the whole movie. And you can see how these characters inspire characters later in his career, or are taken from characters later in his career that he wanted to put into his autobiography. You could take The Dance Reality and Endless Poetry and really make it one film. I don't know if they're going to continue that with the third and fourth, but it's an amazing freaking movie. What I call it is, a lot of you said this is his most accessible film. I'm like, no. Santa Sangre is his most accessible film. Because even as easy it is to watch, it's not someone who doesn't know much. It's not the film I would pick and Dance Reality to introduce people to Joe Dworsky with. This is a love note for his fans, made by an old man who said is close to the end of his days, and making his list and getting his memories in order. He even uses the end of this film to make up and apologize to his father. It gives him the moment that he never did have with him in his life. And, of course, it's just starting when it ends. And that's how much I love it. If you're a fan of Joe Dworsky, you need to see this. This is just good, good, good. And beautiful and gorgeous. You need to see this. And the third film, well, I want to talk about something first. I've got many times, how can you watch this crap? How can you watch these sick movies? How can you watch these gory movies? They're disgusting and horrible. And I've always said, and I always will, no matter how screwed up the movie is, or how screwed up the movie subject is, you're not going to get even close as fucked up as real life gets. And this documentary, which should have been on the short list, my three nominations, I would have nominated the Mr. Rogers documentary, Larry Cohen documentary, and definitely this, which made the short list, but I guess that the filmmakers didn't blow the Academy enough. And that would be Three Complete Strangers. If you look at the trailer and on the surface, It's a this weird little sweet story as it is. Three triplets don't find out each other exists until one of them goes to college. And he's walking around, he's like, hey, man, hey, Joey, how are you? And he's like, I'm not Joey, I'm Brad. And then he turns out that they were three triplets who were separated at birth. And how they got together, learned to love each other, and all that. And how they were a big, big media sensation back in the 80s. Always in stories. Like, you can start off happy, but then some fucked up shit's got to be involved, and this one doesn't stop either. This, you can look up the case, or just look up the title, to find the story back. I'm not going to ruin it with this review, but good God, my jaw was on the floor by the time this documentary was over. This is some fucked up shit. I can't tell you why. You just need to watch it. It's great. And it's only $3.99 for a rental right now on Amazon, or you can wait till it goes in the free category. But this is some dark, dark crap by the end of it. And it's definitely a must-see. Now, to go on to some business. One, I'm working on getting me a new co-host for Sunday. So when the greatness that is Mike House and Miss Vicky Love can't show up because they actually have a life, damn them, I will have a backup for my Sunday show, so I won't have a tiny meltdown like I did Sunday. Sorry about that, but... And like I said at the first, I'm changing the name too. I haven't figured out a good name yet. But things are going to happen to change things, hopefully for the positive and then the future. And actually, I have seen some bad stuff this week, but thanks to the power of Netflix and stuff, if you see something extraordinarily crappy, you can just, boom, throw it in the waste bin. So I really didn't see anything bad this week. Hopefully, I will make it to next week without seeing something bad. And another thing that I'm bringing up is there was this list today called The Most Pretentious Movies Ever Made. If you watch these movies, you're a pretentious horror fan. And it cracked me up. They put The Offspring from this year as a pretentious horror film. I mean, they put Cannibal Holocaust as a pretentious horror film. They put Volunteer. Well, that one, I like, yeah. And Santa Sangre, well, yeah. But good God, is the level of stupidity in that list just amazing. Tears are running down my eyes about how willing they were to make a jackass of themselves on and have their names put on it. Bless you, sir, for being such a dumbass. In public. Oh, Lord. And coming on the air in 2 hours on YouTube is the third season of Dream Big with Rosemarie Macario. If you don't know the show, it is great. It's a great show promoting Knoxville art and culture, which I like to do as much as I can, too. But in the end, I'm a movie nerd and always will be. And with that, thank you for listening to the show this week. Don't worry, we will have 350. I will have something on Sunday while I'm gone to the movies watching Mandy. And with that, good night. God bless. And keep searching the aisles, everybody.
That's it, man. Game over, man. Game over.
Open the circuit to the wave motion gun. Open the circuit.
Blood receiver pressure increases.
All the ship's energy is now in the wave motion gun.
I doubt anyone here would recognize civic virtue if it reached up and bit you in the ass.
Oh, did I hurt your feelings?
The Magneto's right. There's a war coming.
Danger, Will Robinson. Danger.
You sure you're on the right side?
Hasta la vista, baby. Oh, and Overlord came out on Blu-ray today. Buy it, damn it. Buy it now.